You know, I think of it a little bit like the tide. And so a 1% prevalence implies that the water level's already high. And so if the tide starts coming in, whether it's coming in fast or slow, we are sort of already near a threshold where, you know, things are going to be, that we're going to be in a little bit of trouble.
Okay, so that tide is coming in. Dr. Elvin Gang of Washington University's Medical School recently led a study of St. Louis County's coronavirus infections to date, and what he found could stop you in your tracks. I'm Sarah Fenske. This is St. Louis on the Air. We've been hearing for a few weeks now how full our emergency rooms have become, but a comprehensive new study of St. Louis County residents shows just how much worse things could get. And joining us today to talk about it is Dr. Elvin Gang. He's a professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Washington University School of Medicine. Dr. Gang, welcome.
So glad to be here.
So there was a lot in this study to digest, but perhaps the most eye-catching thing for me was just how many St. Louis County residents haven't had COVID-19 yet. Only about 5% of the population has antibodies. What does that tell us about our future prospects with this disease?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think one of the real take-home messages of this survey, you know, I think that The fact remains that even though the region did take a pretty severe hit in March and April, we still have a community in a population that's very susceptible to COVID and to the epidemic. In any epidemic, the rate of spread is related to the number of people that are susceptible, and so high number of susceptible people means that the chances for rapid spread do exist. Mm-hmm. And in addition, of course, the sort of burden of disease at any one time for hospitalizations will depend on the number of susceptible people as well, and the fact that the vast majority of people in the region are susceptible also means that we could cross that threshold above the capacity of the health system pretty easily.
Hmm. So when you're talking about susceptible people in St. Louis County, that could be 95% of the population right now?
That's right. We do, in general, we have interpreted the presence of antibodies to confer immunity. And there is some emerging data that some folks will lose their antibody over mm-hmm. time. But we don't know exactly what that number is. But certainly, you know, it's not the majority of people over the time spans that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so even if 5% is a little bit low, it's not the truth isn't going to be that far away from it. And the take home message remains the same, which is that I think that it remains the case that the vast majority of folks in the region, as of the time that this study was conducted between sort of mid-August and mid-October, were susceptible to getting COVID.
Okay. Now, there's been a lot of talk in national circles, even international circles, hey, maybe we should just let this virus run its course. We can't stop it. Say that we went that route here. What would that look like if with all the people we know that are susceptible at this point, what if we just went for broke, took all the brakes off and start accelerating down that hill?
Yeah, I think that would be a really bad idea for at least a few reasons. So firstly, you know, people invoke the idea of sort of herd immunity and perhaps suggesting that, you know, if we reach herd immunity, all of our problems would be solved. Mm-hmm. But in truth, herd immunity sort of simply means that the epidemic has run its course through a population. Mm-hmm. And the people who would suffer and die from that epidemic, you know, would do so. So it's sort of like capitulating to the epidemic in a sense. Mm-hmm. That's especially true when you achieve herd immunity through real infections rather than through vaccination, right? I think that is probably not a great public health solution.
There'd be a whole lot of people here who would still have to get it before we'd even be close to that, based on what you found with these antibodies.
That's right. And if you let things sort of just unfold the way that epidemics unfold, they unfold exponentially, and the numbers of people that we would be talking about who would require hospitalization would far outstrip the capacity of the health system.
Hmm.
And that, of course, would be a disaster.
Now, I want to address one other thing. I've heard a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks. People are saying, oh, this is a very scary time. 1 in 100 people probably have COVID-19 right now. Reading your study, that is not what it finds. It finds that 1 in 100 people had it mid-August through mid-October. Case counts are a lot higher right now. Do you have any sense or any estimate of, could we say, 5 in 100 people who are wandering around out there spreading their germs wherever they go, they might have it? That number is not 1 in 100 anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I think 2 points about that. You know, one of the things that the study helped reveal, because we got a sense of how many people really have COVID infection, and we're able to compare that with the number of people that are diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that between August and October that the health system was probably diagnosing sort of no more than a third or a quarter of true infections. And so if we were to apply that number to the present, right, where we're having sort of 500, 600, 700 new cases, known cases a day, then even a conservative estimate would suggest that the true number of new cases is sort of 3 to 4-fold that.
Wow.
And with a little back of the envelope math, you know, it would imply that the number of folks walking around who are currently infected with COVID could be quite a bit higher than that 1% that you mentioned. In the, you know, I think 3-4% is a conservative estimate.
Hmm. Well, that's something people should keep in mind as they make their plans for these upcoming holidays. We also heard from one of our listeners. He wrote in with a question over email. He's very intrigued by your study, and he wants to know, how were participants selected? I assume they were random, asymptomatic, with no history of COVID-19. Is that the base that you started from?
Yeah, so we tried to make the study as representative as possible, and to do so, we got phone numbers, both cell phone numbers and landlines from vendors who sell phone numbers, and we tried to call a random sample of folks in the community to try to get a random representative sample. During the course of the study, we did have to sort of pivot and try to enrich our sample for true phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That had, you know, human beings on the other end of them, because many of those phone numbers don't. But it was an attempt to get a representative sample of St. Louis County.
And then once you got these people enlisted, then the goal was to test their bodies, find out if they had these antibodies, is what you were up to.
Yeah. So we offered, we asked, some questions in a survey, and then we offered, both PCR, and antibody testing. And folks, we offered sort of support to get there in case people had trouble, with transportation. To try to get as good of a response rate as we could get.
Okay. So do you feel like you learned what you set out to find in this? You wanted to see, I guess, how far this disease had spread within the county.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a piece of data that we can use to triangulate with other information in our environment. And I think it's helpful because it gives us a little bit of firm footing to understand kind of where we were at the end of the sort of summer, beginning of fall. And it's helpful for, I think, placing what's happening now in the context of the epidemic and the epidemic course.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, a 1% sort of prevalence around the beginning of October through September kind of implies in some ways, I think of it a little bit like the tide. And so a 1% prevalence implies that the water level's already high. And so if the tide starts coming in, whether it's coming in fast or slow, we are sort of already near a threshold where, things are going to be that we're going to be in a little bit of trouble.
Okay, so that tide is coming in. What is one thought you'd want to leave our listeners with based on what you've learned in this research and what you're seeing as a medical professional?
Yeah, thanks for that question. I mean, I think what I would like to say is that every little bit counts, right? So the way that epidemics spread, I mean, I think we all know things that we can do, wear masks, social distancing, and things that we have the immediate ability to do. And I think that every little bit that people do, even if it seems like a little bit, helps, because mm-hmm. it all adds up. And the way it all adds up will determine the course of the epidemic.
So we can all do our part. There's a good exhortation right there. Well, Dr. Alvin Gang, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you so much.
And Dr. Gang is with the Division of Infectious Diseases at Washington University School of Medicine that just did this big study through St. Louis County. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.